I'm Dr. Clifford Hill from the Centre for Contemporary Ministry at Mogahanga Park, Bedfordshire. This is something on this CD that is different from anything else that I've ever written. It's really like St. Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says that there was an occasion when he was caught up into the third heaven, and he wasn't even sure whether he was in the body or out. I had something similar to that strange experience. Now, I normally wake every morning early, around 4:30, to have my quiet time with the Lord. This time, I don't know quite whether I was awake or still part asleep. But it was such an incredible experience. I got up straight away and wrote it down. And this is the story of the lost children. The lost children. The kindergarten. The sound of children's voices filled the air like the sounds coming from a school playground during a mid-morning break. But there was a difference. There was no quarrelling. The sounds were of joy and happiness. Sounds of excited children overflowing with exuberance and activity. There was a multitude of voices blending in harmony, yet strangely they were speaking in many tongues, but all seemed to understand each other as they played and rejoiced in loving harmony, dancing and holding hands or linking arms and enjoying the warmth of togetherness. The voices were of young ones who lacked the maturity of age, but rejoiced in a sweet innocence that had a unique quality of joyful abandonment and carefree happiness. I said to the messenger who was leading me around the area, "Who are these little ones who seem so full of life, with boundless energy and overflowing with joy? Why are they so happy, and how is it that I don't see any squabbling or disagreement? There is not one of them just standing alone, or not joining in with the others. They all seem to love one another and to be doing things together in a way that I've never seen in children before. Why are these children so different from any others?" The unwanted ones. The messenger looked at me gravely and patiently explained, "These are the babies who were never born. These are the little ones who never saw the light of day or enjoyed the warmth of sunshine. They never had the chance of playing with other children, or dancing and jumping and running, or playing with brothers and sisters and cousins and friends. They were never able to stretch their limbs and had only existed in a tiny cramped space that kept them in a crouching position. Now they are able to stand upright, to walk, to run, and to dance. They were kept in the dark. Their eyes were never open to see the many beautiful things around them, to see the beauty of colour, or trees, or flowers, and to enjoy their fragrance. Their short lifespan was terminated before they were able to enjoy any of the pleasures open to ordinary children. Now they are liberated from their dark confinement. They overflow with the exuberance of youth. Their energy is boundless." "But who are they? Where have they come from? What are they doing here?" "Do you not know? Have you not understood the basics of creation? Did you not know that every time human life is conceived, life begins? From the moment of conception, a child is created, a unique little human being, complete with personality, character, and eternal soul, known and loved by the Father of creation. These are the unwanted children, whose mothers got rid of them and had them burnt in incinerators and reduced to tiny bundles of ash. But human life, made in the image of God, cannot be destroyed. It exists for all eternity. The waiting rooms. By now we had reached another area where there were many rooms, each with a number of children in them. But they were strangely quiet, in contrast to the noisy, boisterous little ones we had just left. Why are they so quiet? Why are they not like the infants we have just seen? The messenger appeared hesitant. He lowered his voice to a whisper and said, "These are the children who have been here for some time, and they have been told that their mothers are coming soon. They are waiting quietly for them, listening for the first sound of their mother's voice. They know that they will recognize the voice of their own mother, even though they heard it for such a short time. They know that they will soon be reunited, and they are waiting quietly for that moment. They know that they were torn from her body, and they long for the comfort of her arms around them that they never had in life. They don't know that they were the unwanted ones. Ever since they've been here, they've been surrounded by love, so they believe the whole universe is filled with love and beauty and goodness. Their innocence has never been tarnished. They've never experienced anything but love and tenderness, but they have an empty feeling. They know that something's missing. They will not be complete until they're reunited with their mothers. So they wait here, quietly, listening for her voice, waiting. For some of them, it has seemed an eternity, but they know she will come. The meeting place. Even as the messenger was speaking, cries of joy came from one of the rooms. Could I go and see the reunion? But he shook his head and motioned me to be quiet and to follow him in silence. I stood near the door of the room and listened, but all I could hear was the joy of the child. There was no sound from the mother. Why is the mother not responding? I whispered. Oh, she is responding, came to the reply, but she has no words to say. This mother had blotted out the memory of the child she had conceived. She is in shock, slowly coming to the realization of what she has done those many years ago. These moments are too private for anyone to witness, which is why I cannot take you into any of those rooms. But I can take you to where the mothers go straight from the meeting rooms. As we left the meeting place, I noticed that there were windows where men were looking through, observing the reunions, but having no part in them. The messenger explained that these were those who had fathered the children, but had taken no responsibility for them. They were not allowed contact with the children, but had been brought here to see the little ones and to observe the reunion with their mothers. They would then go to another place, a place of contemplation where they could look back at their life upon earth. I longed to know more, and I was full of questions, but the messenger gave me no chance to ask them, but he motioned me to follow. The Valley of Regret. I was glad to leave that place of deep emotion, to walk in the cool of a beautiful arbour with magnificent foliage and fragrance. There were many women there, walking quietly in deep contemplation. They were not speaking to each other, although I was conscious of much being said, but I could not hear the words. Were they talking to themselves? Was I really hearing sounds, or was I imagining something? The messenger seemed to know my thoughts, and he drew me away from the crowd to explain. Do not be surprised. You certainly can hear much being said, as each of the mothers unburden themselves and speak about their lives and look back to the day they made the big decision. But are they speaking to themselves? I didn't hear them talking to each other. No, they're not talking to themselves. Each of them is talking to their own messenger. You cannot see the messengers, but they see them now. Each of those messengers has been with them throughout their time on earth, but they have been unseen. Now they are able to communicate clearly, and the messengers are telling them that there were many times they tried to get their attention, but they were ignored. They spoke, but they were not heard. They protected them when they were in danger, and many times they rescued them when they were in trouble. Their messengers will be reminding them of many incidents in their lives where there was an unseen influence that they felt. This is why this place is called the Valley of Regret, as people look back upon their lives when they were making the big decision. Their messenger tried very hard to warn them of the consequences, but their voices, other voices, human voices, prevailed. The House of Tears. From the valley I was led to another place, and as we were approaching, the messenger warned me not to speak again and to save my questions until later. I could hear the sounds that grew louder and more distinct as we drew nearer. I longed to ask a question, but knew I had to restrain my curiosity and simply observe as though I were an unseen visitor. The sounds grew louder, and so loud that I thought my ears would burst. I could take no more, but the messenger led me on, determined that I should not avoid this place, however difficult it was to experience. He took me on the journey, and it was a long time before I realized that the sounds I found so difficult to hear were the cries of distress of the mothers of the lost children. The mothers were now away from their children, in a place where they could contemplate and come to terms with the shock of meeting with the child they had conceived. They needed space, and this was why they had been led away from the meeting rooms, to spend time first with their messenger and then alone. There were other rooms where fathers wept, those who had come to recognize their responsibility for the mother's conception. I was led from room to room. It was a harrowing experience to witness the grief of those who had made the big decision and who now realized that they had not thought of what they were doing to a child whose life had already begun. The mothers had been told, "It's just a fetus. You can come into the clinic and have it removed, and you can go home the same day, free of the burden you are carrying." They had not thought of a living child until that experience in the meeting place. And now they were torn apart emotionally from being reunited with the child they had conceived. It was the joy of the child that had moved them so deeply. The knowledge that their baby loved them more than they had loved their baby. The innocence and purity of the child, who did not even know that they had been unwanted, was an almost unbearable discovery. I myself was deeply moved and lost in contemplation until the messenger broke into my thoughts, saying that I needed to see where the mothers were being led from there. The gallery of what would have been. This was a long gallery with what appeared to be a multitude of mini cinemas, each displaying a record of a child's life. I was allowed to stop and watch a child's first days at playgroup and then at school. The child I was seeing was a quick learner and had a great thirst for knowledge, readily taking to new subjects and responding to the encouragement of teachers. She had a tender, compassionate nature and enjoyed helping others. She was popular with her school friends and went on to university to study medicine and become a doctor. She enjoyed her time as a house doctor in a large teaching hospital, bringing comfort and care to many patients. She then went into general practice and was locally renowned for the personal interest and care she showed to all who came to her. During this display, I found myself standing close to the child's mother, who stood in silence, watching intently. As each part of the child's life developed, she gave a little gasp as she recognized something in the child's behavior that reminded her of her own childhood and family traits that were easily recognizable. So this was the life she had conceived. This was the person who would have been. I went from one display to another, watching the story unfold of each child's life. The story of the would have been. There were some remarkable revelations, like the boy who was supremely gifted with creative, scientific brain, who also went on into medicine and became a world-renowned scientist responsible for discovering the cure for cancer. He was awarded the Nobel Prize for Medicine, medical research, and was internationally honored. But for him, his greatest reward was the knowledge of the blessing he had brought into the lives of countless millions who had been changed as they were liberated from the fear of a painful and untimely death. In front of each display, a mother stood silently grieving as she watched the life of her child develop. Her own messenger stood alongside her all the time, comforting her in distress and preparing her for the next part of her own experience, when she would again be reunited with her unborn child. What should she say? Would the child already know what would have been? I asked the same question of the messenger, who responded swiftly in the affirmative. Yes, the child already knows. Each one has seen the development of their life, as you have just seen in the record that is kept in this place. That cannot be altered, neither can it be hidden from the child. But the child has no regrets or recriminations against his mother. These children have only known love, tenderness, and compassion as they came here straight from the womb. They have never experienced the contamination and corruption of the physical world. It is those who conceived them who suffer in this place. But is there no hope for them, I asked? Is there no way of changing what has happened? No second chance? There cannot be a second chance once the big decision has been taken and carried out. That cannot be reversed, however much it is regretted. Many do indeed regret it, and many suffer remorse from the rest of their lives on earth. But they cannot undo what has been done. But where those regrets become repentance, it prepares the way for this reunion and their whole existence in this place. Repentance, explained the messenger, is the key for everyone to arrive joyfully in this place, even for those who conceived a child and made the big decision. Repentance opens the way to the Spirit of the Father, who is the creator of all life. Come now and see how the Father's purposes are fulfilled for those who come to this place in a spirit of repentance. Come and see how the penitents meet with the great reconciler, who broke open the way to life for all who will receive him in the former life, the place of reconciliation. I was not allowed to see the great reconciler, as my time had not yet come, although I was aware of the closeness of his presence, and the glory that surrounded him. But I could hear some of the joy that was being radiated all around. I longed to go closer, but the messenger restrained me. "Your time will come," he assured me. "But now you have been brought here for a purpose. You are a witness, and you must report what you have seen. If your witness is believed and accepted, it will bring blessing to many and may turn many away from making the big decision that will blight their lives on earth. Those who come to know the great reconciler as their kinsman redeemer in their earthly life come straight into his presence and enter into his joy. But for those who do not, there are tribulations that must be borne. You have seen but a tiny part, but you may be permitted to have a glimpse of the joy of those who come to the Father and are numbered among the company of the redeemed." The company of the redeemed. After this, I heard words that I had often read in the book of Revelation. "Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. For who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of the innocent." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters and like peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for our God reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." At this point, I slowly came out of a deep sleep and found myself praying and asking the Lord, "Have I been dreaming? Or have I received a revelation? Have I been shown something I should share with others? Or was it just a dream to be forgotten in the cold light of day?" And the Lord said, "You are to write down what you have seen and heard, and share it with others. All who read it or hear it will know whether or not it is true, because as they read or listen, I will speak to them."